Let me say it is a great privilege and joy for Paul Sikandje and myself to be here tonight. We have been looking forward to this meeting for a good while now. We have known the Greer family for many, many years, and our sister Joanne has certainly been a friend to us, and we're glad for how the Lord is leading and directing in her life. We do bring you greetings from our mission board, from our presbytery, from our churches in North America. I also bring greetings to you from our brethren in Liberia. They could not imagine an assembly like this tonight as something beyond their wildest dreams. And yet they have been praying to the Lord for help, and the Lord is answering that prayer, as is evidenced by our gathering tonight. Joanne will be doing a number of different things in Liberia. She'll be working with Children's Bible Club. She has already done that over the years that she has come to visit Liberia for a few weeks at a time. She certainly has had great success in dealing with the children. They treat her like she's the Pied Piper and follow her everywhere. She teaches them the word. You'd go to a narrow little room where there are 70 young people, and they're sitting on each other's laps for 2 or 3 hours, stifling heat, and they're learning hymns of praise to the Lord, learning scripture, learning the child's catechism, as well as missionary stories. And to do that for 2 or 3 hours with adults would be enough, but to do it with children that are squirming is certainly, you can see the hand of the Lord upon our sister, as she has done well with that already. She's also going to work with some of the elderly, the older folks who do not know how to read. Because of the 14-year Civil War, many of them had no opportunity to learn how to read. The first baptismal service that we had in Liberia, there were about 14, I think, adults that were baptized. One-third of them could not read the Scripture themselves. They knew the Lord. They knew the stories of the Scripture, but they couldn't read the Word of God for themselves. They had no opportunity to learn. And we're hoping that our sister will be greatly used of the Lord in that capacity as well. The music there needs great help, and our sister is gifted in that way, and we're looking forward to great strides being made as they seek to worship and praise the Lord now with music before them that certainly will be of great help. We are grateful to what the Lord is doing in answer to prayer. We believe that this is one small part to the prayers that have been offered to the Lord, and we're thankful tonight that he has been so gracious and merciful in touching Joanne's life and giving her a burden for the mission work there in Liberia. As was already stated, the mission work in Liberia has been going on for years. The door for us to go there to Liberia only opened up about 7 years ago. A man from Philadelphia offered a gospel tract from our church to a man in Philadelphia. He was a Liberian. He was in Philadelphia seeking asylum. Philadelphia has close to 30,000 Liberians in it. During the Civil War, the Liberians went to Europe, they went to America, and one of the places they went was to Philadelphia. This man began to attend our assembly, and we didn't know at the time that he had been a pastor in Liberia. He was sending in literature from North America, from Northern Ireland, Harvest Times, Let the Bible Speak, The Current. He was sending literature in week by week to the people in Liberia that he had contact with, and then they wrote to our presbytery asking that we would come over and help. This will now be our 10th trip going over to Liberia this next week. Over those trips, we have met a lot of God's people who found the Lord during the time of the Civil War. Over 200,000 people were slain in that Civil War. Everybody knows somebody who died. Most of the families are raising other parts of their extended family because they lost their lives during the war. During the time of the Civil War, there was a great famine for the Word of God. And the progress that had been made by missionaries in the past seemed to, in some sense, evaporate. The Pentecostal movement came in like a flood. And as the people were looking for a miracle to get them out of their mess, they gravitated very quickly to the Pentecostal movement, charismatic movement. But it didn't take long for the people to be disillusioned. And many of the people that we have coming to our assemblies there were part of that body that were disillusioned by the lies that were told to them concerning the charismatic movement. And yet they know the Word of God is true. and they're very eager to learn the Word of God and to be instructed in God's ways. At the moment, we have four churches that we call mission churches. They are not constituted works yet. Later, when their pastors finish their training, some of them are close to that point, they will be ordained and the works constituted as Free Presbyterian churches. We also have several other churches that want to become mission churches. We hope that that will take place in the near future. We have men who are training for the ministry. We will have workshop coming up this next week where we'll have others from different denominations coming in to hear the Word of God and to help them as they seek to minister to their own congregations. We have a bookstore. We owe that to the vision and labors of our brother George McConnell. He came on that first trip and then for the next four trips. We haven't been able to get him back since, but we're working on that. He goes down well there in Liberia. They call him Old Man McConnell. He's got to come back because they're now referring to me with that title, and I'm not that old yet, so he's got to come back. Anyways, the people were greatly blessed by his ministry there, and bookstore now is giving out the Word of God each day. The bookstore is easily said to be the best Christian bookstore in all of Liberia. There isn't a lot of competition, but without that, it is truly a remarkable bookstore giving out literature that will stand the test of time, good literature, godly literature, reformed literature, and we owe that to our brothers' labors there in Liberia. We also were able recently to buy a piece of property. I know many of you are praying for that. There's a great difficulty in the country of Liberia in that the whole infrastructure of the country was destroyed during the war. And one of the difficulties then is buying land. You can buy it. Everybody's willing to sell you land. The problem is they don't own what they're selling you. And it's just amazing. We had 15 deeds. All of them looked valid. We took them to the surveyor of the government who determines the validity of these deeds, and he threw out immediately 12 of them. The others were thrown out later. Everybody will sell you something if you're willing to buy. But we actually now bought property from a judge. We're hoping that will stand the test of time. And we're starting building. We have a well now on the property, a shed that has been built, and we're raising the funds and praying that the Lord will enable us to put up two homes in the near future that will help house our missionaries who will be there laboring. Right now, Reverend DeCanio, many of you know him, is in Liberia. He's been there for over a year now, caring for the work, overseeing the work, training the men, running the bookstore. I don't know where he finds the time to do all that he's doing. He'll be joined, as we know, in another few days with our sister Joanne Greer, and we're looking forward to her labor among the young people. There are great needs in Liberia, but the people are eager to be taught. They're eager to have someone come and help them, and we trust that you will continue to pray for that labor in Liberia. We do thank the Mission Board in Ulster for their help over these years. They have given us counsel and support and continue to be of great help. We don't view ourselves as estranged, as it were. We do view ourselves in a unity of the work of Christ. And the very first missionary we sent out, it was Kathy Walker coming from the United States to go to Kenya, and now we have someone coming from Ulster to go to Liberia. And it's good to be able to join hands in our missionary endeavors in trying to reach the world with the gospel of Christ.
Well, it's very good to be here with you tonight and to have this opportunity to speak and just say a few words. It'll be brief. But I do want to thank you all for coming tonight. I do want to thank my brethren here for the gifts and to the congregation of Ballymena, to the Mission Board in North America, and the Mission Board here in Northern Ireland as well. I do thank you most heartily for these gifts, and I know that they'll be put to good use. As you've heard, the instruments are already on the ship or nearly on the ship going over there, so I do appreciate your support in this way. I appreciate your kindness. I do want to thank all those who have taken part tonight and are going to take part, those who are willing to come and to play a part in this special night. I do want to also thank those who have worked behind the scenes to make this night possible, all those who are helping in any way, and I do appreciate that. I want to thank my brothers for singing. When I asked them, they were willing, as always, to take part. Some have to be coerced a little more than others, but that was the one who actually said something, because I couldn't believe that. But I do appreciate their willingness to do that tonight. And I do appreciate also what they have said. And I do want to thank my whole family at this point for their unfailing love and support. And it hasn't just been in the last few weeks or months or even years as I've been looking forward to go to Liberia specifically, but all through my life they have been a support to me. And I do thank them for that. They've always been there, whether it's in prayer or in practical support or in just giving advice, which they're all good at. And many were the texts I sent from Kenya, wondering how to work some piece of technical equipment, or many are the times where I have my four sisters-in-law and sisters trying to give me advice on what to wear. Don't know what I'm going to do without that in Liberia, but hopefully they won't notice over there. So I do appreciate that, and I want to thank my parents also, especially for their love and for all that they've done for me. And in keeping with what Dad said at the beginning, I know that they have, in their hearts, long ago given all their children to the Lord. And now this, this necessary physical separation, it's only a working out what they've already done in their hearts. And I thank God for their testimony and for their example and for their love. I do want to thank the congregation here in Ballymena, my home congregation now, for all of your love and support. I thank God for you. I thank you especially for your prayer for me. I know that when I go to Liberia, that you will be praying. And that's one thing I know about the folks in Ballymena, that they will pray for me. And I thank you for that. I don't actually leave until next Wednesday, so I will, Lord willing, be here in Ballymena again on Sunday. Though I'll be keeping a much lower profile on Sunday. But just I want to take this opportunity now to thank you for you folks in Ballymena, to tell you how much you mean to me, for all the cards, the words of encouragement, all the financial support as well, the whole congregation. And you folks have been very generous and have been very practical in showing your love to me, and I thank you for that. I thank the session and the committee for their support. Very consistent, and again, very generous support, and I want you to know how much I appreciate that. And I do want to thank especially the young people in Ballymena for their friendship and encouragement in the Lord. I have many like-minded friends in this congregation, and I thank God for you. I will miss our fellowship, but I have been informed by some of the Ballymena young folks that they are the first youth group that's coming to visit me. No one else is allowed to come before them. And I don't know, the work in Liberia is still quite new. I don't know how long it will be until it's ready to receive a group of young folks from Ballymena. It might be a while. But I definitely have your names at the top of the list, and look forward to seeing some of you, at least, in the days to come. And I do thank you for your friendship and for your love and for your encouragement. And for I thank God for the fact that there are young people here in Ballymena who have a heart for God's work. And that is an encouragement to me also. And I want to thank everyone then in the congregation tonight. There are a lot of people here. And there are a lot of people from different, different connections with me. Many from congregations right across the province and the Free Church, some from other churches, friends from work, and many others. I know that some people have traveled a long distance to get here, and I thank you for coming, especially Dr. Allison and Palsy. I appreciate that. But there are others even from farther afield in this province itself, and I appreciate the effort you've made to be here. And those watching a webcast, some people have sent me messages saying they're going to be watching tonight, and I'm glad that you can be a part of this also. And I do want to ask you to keep praying. I know that many of you pray for me and pray for the work in Liberia. I want to ask you to keep praying. The work, in a sense, is just beginning. We were told, and I heartily agree with this, that this is not a farewell service. In a sense, it's just a beginning, and it's a sending forth service. And I was thinking, as I thought ahead to this meeting, and even as I'm standing here now, of this great crowd, all these people. And I was thinking of another great gathering that's going to take place one day. And it talks about it in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 7 also. And it talks about a great company who have been redeemed to God. And they have been gathered out of every people and tongue and kindred and nation. And that's why we're here tonight, really. It's not about me, really. I thank you for your support. I thank you for being here for me and for my family. But really, we're here because we are looking forward to that day when we'll be gathered in heaven with so many others. And that's why I'm going to Liberia. That's why you're here tonight sending me to Liberia. That's why I believe and I trust that you will continue to pray and you will continue to support me. That's why I'm going to do whatever I can do there. It's looking forward to that day when we will be in glory with the souls from every nation that Christ has saved, and we'll be rejoicing around the throne there. The work in Liberia is not my work. It's not Dr. Allison's work. It's not Reverend DiCanio's work. It's not even the Free Church's work. It's God's work. And that is why we can have confidence tonight. And that's why I can go with confidence, knowing that God will work, and he'll work through the people whom he's called, and he will do that in answer to prayer. And so I ask you tonight to continue to pray, and as we look forward to this day in glory, you know, even as we pray the Lord's Prayer sometimes, that petition that says, "Thy kingdom come," what we're really asking for is that God's kingdom will be hastened, as it says in the Catechism. The kingdom of glory will be hastened, and ourselves and others brought into it. And so let us work and strive to see that day come. Not just say those words, "Thy kingdom come," but actually work to see it come. And as I go, I would ask you to continue with that prayer and continue looking forward to that day when we will be in glory with many souls from Liberia, I trust. Even many souls here from Ballymena and from Northern Ireland, and we will all be together praising God because he alone is worthy of our praise.
Thank your sister Joanne for her words tonight. It's a real encouragement and blessing to hear from her, and for her two brethren also for their words of counsel and their words of encouragement this evening. It's a real blessing to have with us tonight also the Reverend James Beggs, the Minister Emeritus of the congregation here in Ballymena, and I'm going to invite the Reverend Beggs to come and to speak now.
I do count it a great honour and indeed a joy to take a small part in this service here in Ballymena tonight for our sister Joanne. And I'm going to be brief for a change. I haven't always been brief when I've come to this pulpit in the past, but tonight I'm going to be brief. There is one verse from the Word of God that I would like to just read to you. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and the verse 10. And it reads, "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." The chapter, of course, records the resurrection morning when this band of women came to the tomb early and found that the Lord was risen indeed. We find these women often in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially during the last days of his ministry here upon earth. We learn from Luke chapter 8 and verse 2 that the Lord had healed many of them from various infirmities and diseases, and that they then immediately followed him and ministered unto him. And they are also, of course, found faithful witnesses at the cross work, at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and witnessed his sufferings and his death there at the cross. And here in this verse, they appear again, and they're found faithful witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And among them, there is a young woman, and her name is Joanna. And I thought it was significant that tonight in this service, we're sending forth a Joanne, if not a Joanna, to the work of the Lord in Liberia. And I believe as Joanne goes forth, she is going forth to be a witness to the cross work, to the finished work of Christ, and to his sufferings and death for sinners on the cross, and also to the power of the resurrection and to the empty tomb. The association of Joanne's family with the Ballymena congregation goes back to the early days of the witness and testimony here in this town. And I remember well when her grandparents first came to associate themselves and to join the work here in this congregation. Mr. Greer came along with them, and he was a much younger man in those days. And I think both of us would perhaps rather forget how long ago that was. But they came as a family to support us and encourage us in the work. And Mr. Greer, indeed, was a great encouragement in the young people's fellowship, in the prayer life, and in the general testimony and witness of the work here. So there always has been a very close bond between the congregation and the Greer family. And, of course, that bond has been made even closer by the fact that Mr. Greer is now the beloved pastor of the congregation here. However, it must be said that Joanne personally herself has won a very special place in the hearts of the congregation in Ballymena. Though she will shortly leave us, I know that she will remain in the prayers and in the hearts of all who know her and love her in the Lord, and who support her as she goes forth in obedience to the call of God. When Joanne and her family returned here to the congregation in the year 2000, it was the prayer of, I believe, many in the congregation that Joanne and her brothers and sisters would fit in easily again and happily into the new church environment here. And we pray to that end. How wonderfully God answered that prayer. Joanne was made a great blessing to all who have enjoyed fellowship with her and friendship with her in this congregation. And she was made a great blessing, especially amongst the children and the young folk of the congregation. She has given exceptional spiritual leadership among the youth of the church, and she has been personally a shining example to the young people of what a young Christian woman ought to be among her peers. And I am reminded of the words of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And I can safely say that Joanne has been all that in her life and testimony, and much more in these past years. She has been very active in the work of the Lord among the boys and girls, and also as a Sunday school teacher. And I believe there is a very special bond between her and the children. She came into the room, the minister's room, just before the service. Her brother John was there, and his little boy was in John's arms. And immediately he saw his Aunt Joanne, immediately put out his hands, and he had to get to her. And I said to myself, there is someone who loves children, and also someone that is loved by the children. And I know that the Lord has given her many gifts, and especially gifts, I believe, that will recommend her to the work to which God has called her and to the children over there in the land of Liberia. Her family and the church family here in Ballymena will miss her greatly. And indeed, it will be impossible, humanly speaking, to fill her place here in Ballymena. But we give her up readily to the will of God and to the work in Liberia. God's will is always best. I know that I speak for all of the congregation when we wish you, Joanne, Godspeed, and assure you of our constant support, and you will be constantly in our thoughts in the coming days. I say in conclusion to the congregation in Ballymena, take this dear young woman even more upon your hearts in the coming days, and do pray for her every day. Remember her at the throne of grace. And I would also ask you to remember Joanne's parents and her brothers and sisters, especially in these immediate days when Joanne leaves for Liberia. We know that the Lord will give them the added grace they need as they willingly give up their loved one and their dear daughter to the perfect will of God. Joanne, may God greatly bless you in your future labors in Liberia as you faithfully serve your great God and your only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's lovely to have that link with the past, going back to even grandparents. And we do thank Mr. Beggs tonight for coming and speaking on behalf of the Ballymena congregation. Now, of course, as part of Joanne's preparation for the mission field, she went through the Whitfield College of the Bible, and we thought it would be nice this evening to have one of her former colleagues and friends, her brother Mr. Robert Palmer, who's a licentiate of her presbytery, to say a little word on behalf of the other friends that passed through the Whitfield with Joanne at that time. So our brother Robert.
Well, first of all, it's impossible to follow the commendation of a father and a brother, and also the words from Mr. Beggs, but I wish to show to you some of the character of Joanne as a Christian and as a missionary, as I have got to know her. From a student perspective, first of all, when I went into the college, Joanne was already in her second and last year, and that's when I got to know Joanne, and we became friends at that point. And if you knew Joanne at all, you know that she's a very able student, a very diligent student as well. It wasn't very often that the students, or certainly can speak for myself, would beat Joanne in any of the exams. One that I can remember is Cults and False Religions, and I think that's one of the only ones that I was able to beat Joanne in, but I think that says more about me than it does about Joanne. But it was here in college that Joanne and I shared the vision for the mission field, and I think it's important for me, certainly I can say, but for any young person or older person to see God's vision for the mission field and for specifically a worldwide mission. And to see this, and I think I speak for what Joanne had come to know, is that what the mission work is God's unfolding of his purpose for the church, and it's good to learn more about what God has planned in this world. And one of these things is that the church would go throughout all parts and to each corner of the world. And I know that as far as college goes, Joanne did say that she wanted me to publicly thank on her behalf all the lecturers and the principal of the college for her time there, and also Mrs. Walkinshaw for her help and dedication to the students and to her and her time at college. Most of us, all of us, I'm sure, are here as friends of Joanne tonight, and I think it's a testimony to Joanne's good character and to her friendliness. And some of us are here who were involved in some evangelistic work across the UK a few years ago, and we tried to help out some of the smaller works, and Joanne was part of that team who went out and tried to spread the gospel and to help support some of these works. And it was there that we were able to see Joanne's indefatigable passion for lost souls. And Joanne certainly is that, someone who loves lost souls. And it's so critical that that is in the heart of the missionary, and it's certainly the case with Joanne. And to friends and acquaintances, Joanne is one of the cross carriers, one of the living sacrifices that we read about. And therefore, she is, to me and to the rest of us, a real-life missionary here tonight. She is that, defined by her life, by the standards that she lives by her testimony, and also by now her work She is a real-life missionary, and it is an honour, and I say this sincerely, it is an honour for my wife and I to be close friends with Joanne in Christ, with Joanne, who is now part of Christ's advancement by his gospel into all the world. And I'd just like to leave this verse before you, because I think it sums up God's purpose and that fire that's in the heart of the missionary, and it's to see God's plan. It's in Malachi 1, verse 11, and it says this, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to further worship God this evening as we come to the reading of God's precious word. We'll ask our brother, the Reverend David Park, the secretary of our mission board, minister of our Ballymoney congregation, to come and to read the word of the Lord. And then afterwards, it's my delight to invite to preach the word of God this evening our brother, Dr. Ron Johnson, the moderator of our presbytery. We welcome these two brethren, and we trust that the Lord will bless them now.
I have two short portions of scripture that I want to read, but first of all, let me say it's a personal joy to be here tonight and to have a part in this special service. I got to know Joanne especially in college days, not that I trained with her, but she was in the classes, she was a top class student, and I know that she'll do well as she goes to the mission field. We've called this service tonight a Sending Forth Service. And, of course, that's the business that we are attending to this evening. And it's a scriptural term. It's a missionary term. The Saviour himself, throughout his ministry, he sent forth his disciples. And after his resurrection, he said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So Joanne is a sent one tonight, sent by the Lord and being sent by the church. There was a day in which I heard the challenge of the Lord, "Whom shall I send?" And with a ready response, she said, "Here am I, send me." So with that in mind, I want to read, first of all, in Acts chapter 13, and the opening four verses. Acts 14, and verse 1. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed on to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." And then I want to read some verses from Matthew chapter 28. The moderator has asked me to read the concluding verses of this chapter. Matthew 28 and verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And just one other verse by way of personal encouragement, a verse that has meant a lot to me over the years, and I know to many of God's people. Just that verse, Joanne, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, where the Lord says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen.
Joanne, Reverend Mrs. Greer, I do count it a sincere honor to take part in this service tonight. Unknown to me until I came to the service, I didn't realize that Joanne had chosen the last hymn that's based upon the passage of Scripture that I believe the Lord would have us direct our attention to this evening. All power is given unto me. We'll sing it, Lord willing, later in the service. I can confirm and agree with what's been said about Joanne. It was a privilege and honor to have her in the missionary principal's class. She was a diligent student, blessed with great ability. But tonight I want to turn your attention to this passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. I trust you have your Bible open as we look at it for a few moments this evening. Let us just bow briefly in prayer first. Our Father in heaven, as we come to thy precious word, we thank thee for all that has already taken place in this meeting. We believe the Lord's presence has been with us. And Father, as we read the words of our Lord and Savior, we pray that they would come in power to us and that they would bless each one of us now and speak to us with power, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this sending forth service, I want to draw your attention to what many call the Great Commission, although I do think the greatest commission is the commission when God the Father sent God the Son into this world to be our Lord and Savior. That is the greatest commission. But this passage is known as a great commission that the Savior gave to his disciples. It took place in Galilee. The Lord had told his disciples back in chapter 26 and verse 32, "After I am risen, I will go before you." That's a tremendous text. "I will go before you into Galilee." Earlier in chapter 28, in verse 7, the angel told the women. We've already heard about the women tonight who met the Lord after his resurrection. The women were told to tell his disciples to go into Galilee. And in verse 10, the Lord appeared to the women and said, "Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." And it was struck with this passage that the disciples were obedient. That's where the Christian life begins, obeying. Joanne has obeyed the Lord in so many ways. We've heard tonight of how she grew in the Lord. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Young person, that's where it starts. Obeying what the Lord tells you in his word. And so the disciples obeyed and they come to Galilee. And it's wonderful that they came there to meet with Christ. Now, we have gathered this evening to say farewell to Joanne, but she and we have gathered to see Christ this evening. And notice in verse 17, they saw him. Oh, in the closing moments of this meeting, may we see Christ. And when they saw him in verse 17, they worshipped him. They fell at his feet before him. And that's what we need to do at the close of this service. Every one of us, we need to fall before him in humble adoration. Now, we're told that some doubted. I wonder, were some of their doubts to do with fear of the future, what was going to happen? They had seen their Lord and Savior crucified just a few days before. How were they going to live for Christ? How were they going to stand? But look at how he dealt with their doubts in verse 18. And Jesus came. He came closer. He came closer. Isn't that what we want tonight? The Lord to come closer. And then he spoke words. He spoke words about the future of God's work. And thank God tonight there is a future for God's work in the Free Church. Tonight we're seeing an advance in the missionary work. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the future of the work. And these words are very, very important. They were important back then for the disciples. They're very important for every one of us here tonight. This is the Lord's command to us tonight, and they're very important. They're words of commission. Unfortunately for many churches and many Christians, it's the great omission in their Christian life. I want to draw your attention to these words, because so often we get caught up with trivialities. We get caught up with secondary things. We get caught up with things, yes, that may be important, but not with the most important, obeying the Lord's command. There are obviously three things in what the Lord said here. I want you to notice in verse 18, there's the astounding claim. The astounding claim. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Notice in your Bible it says it is given. So this is not talking about His power as God the Son, His deity. Because this power was given to Him. In other words, it is mediatorial power. You see, what that means is that God the Son in the covenant of grace, the covenant for our redemption, came into this world and He took a human body and a human nature and He kept that law absolutely perfectly that we could never keep. He fulfilled all righteousness. And then on Calvary's cross, He gave Himself for His people's redemption. He suffered the debt of our sins. And He did the work that His Father sent Him to do. He fulfilled the great commission to be our mediator, our representative, our redeemer. And He was promised in that covenant, for instance in Psalm 2, that He would receive all authority and power. And when He rose again from the dead, that's when He received the power. Oh yes, He still do ascend into heaven, we know that, but it says it's been given to Him, it's the resurrection. When He arose with power, He received all power as our mediator. He reigns tonight. The one who's sending Joanne out, He reigns. He's Lord of all. We need to realize that. His mediatorial power. But look, it's total authority. By the word there, power, actually has the idea of authority. It says all power. He's power over everything. He has power over the planets and their circuit. He has power over the natural universe, the galaxies. He's power over the weather systems. He's power over every creature. He's power over every disease. He's power over every beat of our heart. He's power over every breath we take. Tonight we need to see that He has total power and His universal power. You notice it says in the text, in heaven and on earth. He speaks and the cherubim and seraphim fly at His command. He has power over every demonic force. He's Lord of all. He's King of kings. He's power on earth. He has power over every government, over every nation. He has total power, even over Liberia. Not only has He mediatorial power and the universal power and the total power, look, He has personal power. He has personal authority over every one of us. All authority is given unto me. Joanne recognized that quite a long time ago, that Jesus Christ was her Lord. That's what's brought us to this place tonight. She knows she is a Lord over her, and she has yielded to His will for her life. Let me ask you, young person, an older person too tonight, do you recognize that He has authority over you? Now He has, whether you recognize it or not, but what I mean is this. He is Lord. He has total power. He has universal power. And He has personal power over you. But young person, have you ever consciously stopped and yielded your life to Christ and recognized willingly, joyfully, prayerfully, totally, that Savior, You're Lord of my life. And I'm going to obey You. Have you ever done that? All authority. All authority. Tonight, in this missionary sending forth meeting, we need to see Christ as He is upon the throne. The one who loved us and gave Himself for us, He has all power. And in a few moments, we're going to commend our sister to the grace of Christ. The grace of this one who has all power. You have His astounding claim. But look in the next verse. On the basis of that astounding claim that He has all authority, He gives His authoritative command. His authoritative command in verse 19. Actually, you see the word therefore. because he's worthy to be worshipped, because he has all authority. He speaks and he settles it. And what's the command he gives us? Well, actually, the command in the verse is to teach all nations, make disciples. That's the command. Now, you make the disciples by going and by baptizing and by teaching, but the command is actually the imperative, in other words, in the text is, make disciples. Joanne already mentioned that day when around the throne of God there'll be those disciples of Christ will cry there that they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the command. Nations, the word there is the word we get ethnic from. Every ethnic background. That's the command of the church. That's the command to every Christian here tonight. That's the command that has motivated Joanne, that our risen Savior, who's Lord of all, who reigns tonight over this universe and over this earth, his command to the church of God is to go to every ethnic group on this planet and to make disciples among every people, tongue, and nation. That's our command, and it's authoritative command. We're to do it. You see, the basis of world missions is the authority and command of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command. Joanne has heard that command. Have you heard it? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever considered it? Now, of course, not all of us can go to Liberia, though I'm sure there's room for more from our churches to go. But it's already been urged upon us. You can be involved by praying, being at the prayer meeting, being at missionary prayer meetings, reading the missionary newsletters, giving your financial support. This is the Savior's command. And yet today there's so many churches and Christians, they look upon it as an unnecessary extra, like a take it or leave it. Oh, well, the missionary work, well, that's something. If you want to get involved in it, you can, but you don't really have to. No, this command in Scripture, it's the Savior's authoritative command. The Christian who's not a missionary-minded Christian will be a Christian missing out at the judgment. For they'll not receive the well-done, good and faithful servant because they haven't done well. They haven't done what the Lord has commanded. One of the great remarkable quotes of C.H. Spurgeon. One day a student came to him and he asked him a question that sometimes you get asked when you think of the missionary work. Will the heathen who have never heard the gospel be saved? And the story goes that Spurgeon looked at the young student and he said, listen, it's more of a question with me whether we who have the gospel and do not go and seek to make disciples among the heathen, whether we can be saved. If we profess to be followers of the Lord, how can we not be interested in missionary work? How can we not be obedient to the command? You see, this Savior's command, it's not an option to be considered or debated or discussed or simply to preach upon. It's a command to be obeyed. It's not a matter of choice. It's not a matter of personal preference. It's an obligation. It's a command. It's a command of the Lord and the early church. And Mr. Park read it. The early church sent their best people out to the mission field of the world. Revivals, when you study revivals down through church history, do you know one of the characteristics of mighty revivals? There was a re-emphasis on missionary work. And missionaries were sent out from churches. When I was young at missionary meetings, we used to hear a saying, I haven't heard it so much in recent days, the light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. The light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. I was reminded of that missionary quote just this week, because on Tuesday when I went out of the house for a committee meeting, I couldn't understand what was going on, because right in the house there was the colours of the rainbow right over the top of the house. Now, they told me when I got to our church committee meeting, I hadn't read the local paper, because Newton Ours was privileged of all of Northern Ireland to have something to do with the Olympics. It's been in England a couple of places, and for a few days over this St. Patrick's Day on Scrabble Tower, they have laser beams that go for miles. It's been a traffic problem in Newton Arts. It's a wonder there hasn't been more accidents because people are stopping their cars in the dark. And it's amazing to see. Apparently it shines out for miles and miles. The spectrum of the rainbow, the colours, and everyone's talking about it. You can't miss it. Shining out from the top of Scrabble Tower. And I thought of that missionary quote and I looked up and sure enough, do you know where it's brightest? Right where the beam begins at the very top. It's light there. The bright light. You see, the light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. What are we saying? We're saying that the church that sends forth missionaries will be a church that's blessed in their home ministry too. God will bless that church at home. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. And you see, the thing is here, Ballymena, you're a blessed congregation tonight. You're blessed tonight in Ballymena that you have the privilege of sending out a missionary. Let me quote you again because I give this quote on missionary principles to the students, to you actually. David Livingstone once said, the best remedy for a sick church is to put it on a missionary diet. I like that. C.H. Spurgeon put it another way. Do you know what C.H. Spurgeon, preaching on this very text, 1860s, he said, while I meditated in private upon this passage, I felt myself carried away by its power. The command with which the text concludes repeated itself again and again in my ears. I solemnly feel that my position in England will not permit my leaving the sphere in which I now am, or else tomorrow I would offer myself as a missionary. He said, I envy you young men and women who have the privilege of going to the newly opened field of China. He said, I've prayed to God, and it's a prayer I shall repeat till I die. I have prayed that out of this church there may go many missionaries. I will never be content with a congregation or with a church or even with ministers, many of whom have already gone out from our midst. We must have missionaries from this church. That was the great C.H. Spurgeon. It's obvious. He had heard the words of our Savior in this command that he gave to the disciples. The astounding claim, all power is given unto me. Can you see the authoritative command to you and I tonight? But thank God when he gives the command, he gives his abiding comfort. Look at the next verse, the abiding comfort. It says in end of verse 20, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Lo, that's an interjection. In other words, it's saying, pay attention. Here's something very, very important. Look at the identification. I. Joanne, it's the Lord going with you. And he's going before you, as it says earlier in the chapter. It's the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one, Joanne, who died for you, who shed his blood on the cross. The one who goes with you, Joanne, is the one who's risen again with all power. He's the one who promises in Romans 8:28 that all things in your life will work together for good. Yes, in Liberia as well as working here in your life here. He's going with you. You've got his abiding comfort with you. He's there. And the continuation, it says always, literally all the days without break. Good days, bad days, sunny days, sad days, days of trouble, days of difficulty. He's with you. He's with you. The great preacher F.B. Meyer, one of the anecdotes he would tell was when he traveled on a tram, he got to know a lady, a cleaner. She was a believer. He would meet her on the tram and he noticed she'd gone for a week or so. When she came back, she was very dejected and sad. He asked her what was wrong, knew she was a believer. She said, well, I lived with only one other person, my disabled daughter, handicapped. I used to come home from the cleaning job and would rush home and we'd just fellowship together at night, just the two of us. But she passed away a few days ago. And I hate to go home at night, it's so lonely. It's so lonely. I can hardly face going to the door. And F.B. Meyer said, when you go home tonight, you're about to turn the key in the door, just stop and pray. Say, Lord, I know you're in the house before me. And I'm coming in to fellowship with you. Speak with me. fellowship with me tonight. The Lord said here, lo, I am with you alway. And then you have the duration of it, even to the end of the world, the end of this age. There's no break. It goes on. All our life. All our life. There's another story of G. Campbell Morgan, a very famous one in his ministry, where on one occasion he, in his early in his ministry as a young preacher, he went to a house where there was an elderly saint. And you know how if you're a preacher, you go and you visit some elderly saint and you come away encouraged. And there's some dear saints of God. And this lady, of course, as many elderly ladies in the congregation are, they can have a bit of humor about them. And G. Campbell Morgan said, I'll read a passage of Scripture with you before I go, and I'll pray. And he read this verse, lo, I am with you all. And he said, now, dear, isn't that a wonderful promise? And the elderly saint looked at him and said, it's not a promise, it's a fact. It's a fact. Thank God it is a promise and it is a fact. And it's wonderful tonight at this sending forth service that we know that the Lord is going with Joanne. She's not going alone. Now, we need to get behind her too, of course, because the Lord works through His church and support and prayers. But the Lord is going with her. And I love David Livingstone. His text, motto text, was one he wrote in his journal. It's one that he spoke in 1896 in Glasgow University when David Livingstone was given an honorary Doctor of Law. He arose to speak. His left arm, of course, had been injured with the incident with the lion. He couldn't use it. And he spoke about the trials that he went through. He spoke about how he was getting ready to go back to Africa. And he said this to that assembled group in Glasgow University. He said, I tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among a people whose attitude towards me was always uncertain, sometimes hostile. It was this. Lo, I am with you always. And he said this, it's the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. And that's the end of it. You have in this passage his astounding claim. Oh, that would see Christ tonight, he's all power. You have his authoritative command. He's telling us all tonight that there's a command. We're to go and make disciples among all nations. Thank God there's his abiding comfort. Those are the words of the Savior. But just as I come to a close, I need to challenge you and I for a moment. Those are the words of our Savior. What about your word? What about your response tonight? Do you notice I haven't read all the verse yet, the last verse? Look at your Bible. There's a little word there. And it was nice to hear Joanne's brother singing that word. I was blessed when they sang it repeatedly, because it's one of the great words of Scripture. Amen. It's used so many times in Scripture and different. By the way, that's one of the titles of our blessed Lord. That word, amen, is a Hebrew word that comes from the idea of to be firm. When the Lord used it at the commencement of sayings, what it meant was verily, verily. That's amen, amen. It's true. It's definite. You can stake your life and eternity upon it. But of course, at the end of a word, at the conclusion, yes, we call it so be it. But it is an affirmation. When we say amen in prayer, we're making an affirmation. We're saying we believe this is the truth. It's also an act of assent. Do you know in the Old Testament when certain oaths were taken? On one occasion, I think of Numbers in a court of law scene where a lady was on trial and the lady would say, amen. In other words, I'm assenting. I'm assenting to it. The people, too, when they made a covenant in the Old Testament, in assenting to the laws, Deuteronomy 27, the people said, amen. In other words, the Savior's words tonight, they need a response. Are you just going to go home from the meeting? Are you going to affirm what Christ said? You know it's the truth. I believe it's the truth. I believe what's in Matthew 28 is the truth. Are you going to give your assent to it? Are you going to associate yourself? Often in the Old Testament, you know, the people, when they worshipped, let the people say amen. And that's where most probably most often used in the Old Testament. The people joined together and they would say amen, amen. In other words, are you going to say that tonight? The Lord has said his words. Now it's up to us to affirm and associate. In other words, acceptance of the command. That's what I'm talking about. Acceptance of the command. Are you going to do that tonight? And I just want to challenge you tonight. Do you recognize him as Lord? If you're not saved, you're living in rebellion. You're living in rebellion against the Lord of this universe. You need to repent tonight and trust him as Savior and Lord. But Christian, young person especially, can you say amen to this passage of Scripture? Can you truthfully say tonight, I affirm what's written here, I assent to it, I accept the command, and tonight, God helping me, I'm going to get involved in supporting missionary work. Tonight, I'm God helping me, I want to pray, and I want to set aside time to pray and to get involved and get interested, and I'm going to give towards God's work, that this is a command. Are you willing to say yes? He is Lord. I recognize him as Lord of my life. You say, what does that mean? It means that you take, as it were, a blank sheet of paper and you put your name on it and you get before the Lord tonight and you say, Lord, there it is. There's the blank sheet and I'm signing my name. Lord, anything, anywhere, any cost, because you're Lord. Have you ever done that? Will you do it? That's what it means to say amen. If you say, but what if the Lord calls me to some foreign mission field? Well, then you'll prove what Romans 12 tells us. You'll prove the good and perfect and acceptable will of God, because God always gives the best to those that leave the choice with him. And so tonight, we thank God that we can commit and commend Joanne to this one who made this astounding claim. And we know that his abiding comfort will be with her. But may tonight's service be a means of stirring every one of us up. Because listen, the time is short. The night is coming. The fields are white. Let's as a church be up and doing while it is day. May the Lord bless you, Joanne and Reverend and Mrs. Greer. Thank God you can rely upon his abiding comfort. That promise is especially for you as well. And we do pray for you. I know a little bit of what Joanne's brothers and sisters are going through, because when I was a teenager, my sister left. She was the only daughter of my parents. She's been out in the mission field over 40 years now. I know a little bit of what you're going through as a family. But thank God his abiding comfort will be with you in the days ahead. May God bless you.
Let us pray. Father and our God, we come to thee tonight in our Savior's name, thanking thee, Lord, for thy presence with us tonight. O Lord, we rejoice that thou hast brought us to this moment, to this momentous and historic moment in the life of Joanne, in the life of the Greer family, in the life of the church, and in the life of the work of God. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art the one who had sanctified Joanne and preserved her and called her. And tonight we are the witness of the grace of God in her life. And Lord, we are reminded of Scripture that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, Father, we do ask that thou wilt fill Joanne with thy spirit. And, Lord, that thou wilt prepare her for the work which thou hast for her to do. And we thank thee, Lord, for the promise that the power of God will be provided, and she will go in the fullness of the power of God. Oh, Father, we commit her into thy precious care. We commit her into thy hand.
and who admit tonight she could be in no better hands. Father, we rejoice that thou art the one going on before her. So we thank thee again tonight for thy gracious unto us, for thy love, for thy comfort that is an abiding one. And we pray, O Lord, that as we depart, that we would go in the fullness of the Spirit of God. We pray that thou will bless the food that we're about to receive, bless our fellowship, bless our conversation. And Lord, we pray that even that there'll be many here that will hear the call of God. And Lord, that there'll be many that will follow in the footsteps. And now, Father, we pray that thou wilt graciously pour down thy Spirit upon us. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and power, dominion, now even forevermore. Amen.